Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, at that season, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report concerning Jesus and said unto his servants, This is John the Baptist, risen from the dead, and therefore do these powers work in him. It is written, for John had said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. It is written, and his disciples came and took up the corpse and buried him. And they went and told Jesus. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced in the midst and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she should ask. And she, being put forward by her mother, saith, Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver, make up my troubles quickly an end. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. He all my cares and sorrows will share. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me. Over the world, the victory to win. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message, the beheading of John the Baptist. Herod the King is the name of three men in the New Testament who had the same name, King Herod. And all three were enemies of the Lord and his church. The first is Herod the Great, and he was the Herod who tried to kill the infant Jesus and killed all the children under two in the city of Bethlehem. The second Herod, the son of the first Herod, is the one who beheaded John the Baptist and had one of the trials of Jesus. Jesus would not speak a word to that Herod because he had beheaded the voice that cried in the wilderness and was not allowed to hear the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as from the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then the third Herod was the nephew of the second Herod and the grandson of the first Herod. The third Herod is the one mentioned in Acts, the 12th chapter. Now about that time, Herod the king put forth his hand to afflict certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. He was also the same King Herod, according to Acts 12:23, where an angel of the Lord smote him, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. And so it is evident that not all the troubles of the Lord and his church was caused by the religious fanatics known as scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees. But much of the trouble was caused by enemies in high places. The enemies of the Lord and his church still goes on from high places today. Letters from various areas testify to this fact. An excerpt from one tells us, "Don't send us Bibles in boxes, but in normal paper, because if they are in boxes, they may detect them, but if they are wrapped in paper, no problem at all. Otherwise, they may detect them and take them away from us. Pray for us." Another writer says, "The situation in this country has not changed. Many Christians are in prison. Please pray for our country." Then another writes, "One thing I know, many Christians are put in prison because of their faith. Now they are not allowed to worship openly, but hidingly. But I am sure God will open the doors one day and we can worship freely." Still another writes to say, "Please pray for our country. The government has declared for closing all Christian churches. Also, many of our Christian brothers have been arrested and put in prison for 3 to 4 years. The Herods of bygone days are still at it today. And even now, the chains of slavery are being forged for us in America. Only those who have rocks in their heads will assume it could never happen here." Now, the story of the beheading of John. The beheading of John the Baptist is related in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke gives us a shorter version of it and makes reference to his beheading as a past event. According to Luke 9, verse 9, Herod said, "John I beheaded, but who is this, about whom I hear such things?" Jesus had been carrying on his ministry for 2 years, and was 1 year from the cross, and Herod is just beginning to hear of him. The beheading of John took place just before the feeding of the 5,000, and John notes in John chapter 6, verse 4, "The time of the Passover was at hand." That Passover would be one Passover before the last Passover when Jesus died on the cross. This is no great mystery that Herod did not know Jesus, when there were many then and now who don't know Jesus, even today. In John 1, verse 10, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world knew him not." Then in Acts 13, verse 27, Paul in his sermon in Antioch of Pisidia said, "For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the prophets that are read every Sabbath day, they fulfill by condemning him." Paul explains how this could happen in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, when he says, "For the natural man knoweth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Modern man has time for every area of learning, except the most important of all. Just listen to some of the wise people of this world on television and radio, who seem to be so knowledgeable on everything and anything, and yet, when they open their mouth to comment on matters regarding the book that has been available for 2,000 years, they reveal an abysmal ignorance of the Word of God that has been with us for 2,000 years. Now, John the Baptist had a message when he preached as a voice crying in the wilderness. John did not mince words, and it was reported to Herod that John said he had no right to live with Herodias, his wife, for he had stolen her from his brother Philip. So Herod had arrested John and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his wife. She hated John and wanted to kill him. But Herod feared the people, for they took him for a prophet. Herod feared several things. He feared the people and what they would think. He feared John because he was a righteous man. He feared his conscience when he remembered how he murdered John. He feared the opinion of his guests at the feast if he went back on his word when the daughter of Herodias asked for the head of John. John was afraid of everything except what he should have been afraid of and did not, namely Almighty God. Herod did not know that Jesus said in Matthew 10:27, "Be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to kill both body and soul in hell." Now, while Herod kept John in prison, he heard him gladly. Herod was like many people who gladly attend gospel meetings, but it has no effect on their lifestyle, even though they may enjoy the singing and the preaching. Nothing ever changes. They may be members of the church, and the lifestyle is the same as it was before. Isaiah, the 5th chapter, gives us the reason. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. What used to be right is now wrong, and what used to be wrong is now right." Many now, like Herod, hear the message gladly. They rejoice in the singing, the message, the fellowship, and nothing changes as they live the same devilish lives they always lived. Now notice the superstition of Herod. Some who reject the word of God are superstitious, like Herod. Herod concluded that Jesus was John, risen from the dead. His guilty conscience troubled him, and he concluded that the Lord must be John the Baptist, risen from the dead, and therefore do these powers work in him. Actually, the resurrection of Jesus would be the best way for anyone today to account for the life of Jesus Christ. However, in the case of Herod, he did not regard Jesus as risen from the dead. It was John, whom he had beheaded, who had been raised, and his conscience gave way to superstition. He did not only hear about Jesus, he wanted to kill him. Luke 13 tells us Herod would fain kill Jesus, and Jesus said, "Go tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons, and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I am perfected.'" The same superstition is popular among many unbelievers in the Word of God today. While they may reject the inspired Word of God, we hear them ask, "And what sign were you born under?" As though their lives are guided by the arrangement of stars in the sky. Astrology was one of the great sins of Israel, according to Acts chapter 7. When Israel worshipped the golden calf, they declared, "These are the gods who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." And Stephen, the martyr, reminded them that God gave them up to serve the host of heaven. They took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of the god Rephan, the figures which they made to worship them, and, "I will carry you away beyond Babylon." They say today, "What sign were you born under?" Personally, when they ask me, I give them my standard answer. I was born under the sign of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And many years ago, I went into orbit around the bright and morning star and have been in orbit ever since. According to John, the 10th chapter, Later on, after John had been beheaded, Jesus returned for a visit to where John the Baptist at first was baptizing. And the people came to Jesus and gave John the Baptist the greatest compliment any preacher of the word could possibly receive. They told the Lord that John, while he was alive, indeed did no sign. John never spoke in tongues. John never raised the dead. John never cured the leper. John never restored sight to the blind. But they said, even though he did no sign, all things whatsoever John said of Jesus were true. When he said in John 1:23, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord," as said Isaiah the prophet. That was a true statement, the fulfillment of prophecy. When Jesus came to John for baptism, John looked upon Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He pronounced Jesus sinless, and that was also true. And when John said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," that was a true statement also, because Jesus continued the same message after John was put in prison in Matthew 4:17. Jesus continued to say, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Ladies and gentlemen, the kingdom of God was established on earth when the church began the day of Pentecost after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. Jesus had given the keys of the kingdom to Peter and the other apostles. The gospel was preached, and 3,000 obeyed the terms of pardon. "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Those who accepted those terms that day were delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love, according to Paul in Colossians 1:13. Ladies and gentlemen, what John said was true. The kingdom of heaven was at hand, and the kingdom established on the day of Pentecost when the church was born. It was also true when we hear John say in John 1:26, "In the midst of you standeth one whom ye know not." This reminds us of the incident in Genesis 28 regarding Jacob's ladder. Jacob dreamed he saw a ladder stretching from earth to heaven, and when he awakened, he said, "The Lord was in this place, and I knew it not." And then he said, "How dreadful is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." That statement of John was true then, and it is true now. Jesus is always nearby, and people know it not. Jacob was right. It is a dreadful thought to think that a person can be so close to Jesus any time and every time the gospel is proclaimed, and those who hear it are standing at the gate of heaven and know it not. On that day when the trumpet sounds, and that number that John saw in Revelation chapter 7, a number that no man can number out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, are standing before the throne, arrayed in white robes and palms in their hands, crying with a loud voice, "Salvation to our God who sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb." And ladies and gentlemen, on that day, may it be that a great number among them will report to the Father, "There were no signs, nor miracles worked, and no speaking in tongues, on the God is just a prayer away. radio program. But all things that were said were true. And then there was the final report of the death of John, when his disciples came and took up the corpse and buried him, and they went and told Jesus. That was a good choice of words. John's disciples did not take up John and bury him. It was the corpse they buried. They could not bury John anyway. They could not bury his soul. All they could do was bury what was the corpse. There is not a single soul or a man or a woman buried in any cemetery in the world today. The only thing that is buried in the casket is a corpse. The disciples of John buried a corpse, not the man. And then they went and told Jesus. That was a wise decision on the part of John's disciples. They went and told Jesus. There are many times in life when that is the best advice that can be given. Go and tell Jesus. Lazarus of Bethany was sick unto death, and in John 11, his sisters, Mary and Martha, sent to Jesus and said, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. Ladies and gentlemen, when a loved one has a terminal disease, what better advice? Go and tell Jesus. When we have questions about the Word of God, it is good to do as the apostles in Matthew 24, when they came to Jesus privately and asked him, saying, When shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Whatever the spiritual question may be that troubles you, go and tell Jesus. When a person is in great danger, do as the apostles did in the boat ready to sink. In Matthew 8:25, when they awakened the sleeping Christ and went to him and said, Save, Lord, we perish. In times of danger, go and tell Jesus. In Luke 10:17, the 70 had just returned from a successful evangelistic campaign, and they came back rejoicing and told the Lord that even the demons are subject to us in thy name. Is it not good that we also should go and tell Jesus? When leading a lost soul to the Lord, or in some great triumph of the people of God, go and tell Jesus. Matthew 17, the 15th verse. A man brought his only son to Jesus and pleaded for mercy for one who was thrown in the fire and then in the water. We hear of thousands of similar situations today of blasted young lives. And what better advice for the parents but to go and tell Jesus? Luke 24:18 is a great reminder at a time of tremendous disappointment. When you're disappointed, be like Cleopas and his companion, who had the greatest letdown of all of their hopes and dreams when Jesus was buried in the tomb. On the day of resurrection, they told their sorrow to a stranger, and the stranger happened to be the risen Christ. Unknowingly, they had gone and told Jesus. The gospel song encourages us. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious what shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears fall down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to men's hearts are hidden? Go and tell it to Jesus alone. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address is Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, and don't forget to tell somebody somehow in some way that God is just a prayer away.